I can't stop people from betraying. Like, I don't have that power. I wish I did, but I don't. But what I can do is bring awareness to this to help people have a greater understanding of what it looks like when someone's betrayed, how to come alongside people and support them. And there is no shame in something happening to you and really helping betrayed partners feel that sense of agency, that if they want to, they can share their stories and that there's healing in doing that when they're ready to.
Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another episode of the PSR Podcast, which is a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries. In this episode, I welcome back Andrea Rogers. She's a board-certified life coach specializing in intimate partner betrayal trauma. Andrea shares her powerful personal story of discovering her husband's double life after 14 years of marriage, which eventually led her into coaching work. We explore what intimate partner betrayal truly means, its devastating emotional and physical impacts, including PTSD-like symptoms, and why it's so isolating. Andrea also shares about the Intimate Partner Betrayal Awareness Day, observed annually on August 4th. This is a growing movement to bring visibility and community to those affected. To learn more about Andrea and her resources, visit fullyalivecoachingllc.com and ipbawareness.org. I do want to just say briefly that some parts of today's episode contain elements that are sensitive and might even be triggering for some listeners, so I just encourage you to listen with care. For additional resources, you can visit our website at bebroken.org or take a look at some of the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And of course, friends, I'm going to invite you to please rate and review the podcast after listening to help others find it. Now, let's get into my conversation with Andrea. Well, all right, we have back with us Andrea Rogers. So, Andrea, welcome back.
Thank you for having me. It's been a little bit, but I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, we had you back quite a while back. I mean, we were just talking before we started the recording, and your kids were little at that point in time, mm-hmm. and now they're, you know, they're launching into adulthood, and so time flies, you know?
It does, it does.
But I'm excited to have you back, I mean, because I feel like you have, you know, even since when we had you on last time, you've gained a lot of just experiential knowledge in this space. And especially in this area of intimate partner betrayal. And mm-hmm. we're going to talk about a specific, you know, special day that you have started to develop as kind of an event around that. But first, can you give us just a little bit of your own kind of background, your own story, and then kind of how you got into the coaching work that you're doing now?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I laugh because I used to say that what I would love to do is work with women and work with couples. That was something that I was just passionate about. And so I did get my wish, but not quite in the way that I thought I would be, right? I was married for 14 years to what I thought was my best friend and life partner, and 14 years into the relationship, discovered that he was leading a double life. And as you can imagine, that was devastating in a lot of ways. And so, well, we spent 4.5 years trying to restore the marriage. But you know this well, that it's not just about being sober. But the acting out is a symptom of a deeper problem. And when you don't deal with the deeper issues, you know, your own trauma, the way you relate to your partner, your ability to be honest, that it's hard to rebuild a relationship when trust is not reestablished. And so that's where we landed. I asked for a divorce in 2018 after I was kind of pushed into a corner. And then we were divorced in 2019. And at the time I was homeschooling my children and I had done coaching in the past, but more in a management setting and had stayed home, you know, the entirety of the marriage. So as life was falling apart, I asked my children, if I can keep one thing the same for you, what would that be? And they said, can we please still be homeschooled? And so I said, okay, God, well, then you've got to provide a way for me to still homeschool, but bring in income. And so that's how I got into coaching, went and did my APSATS training, and the rest is history.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. So now, as part of your coaching, you started to really serve clients that shared your kind of story, right? This intimate partner betrayal. And tell us about how, you know, what that process looked like for you in coaching, and then how this intimate partner betrayal awareness day started to kind of form and come about.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were really connected because first of all, I had never heard the term betrayal trauma. And I think a lot of partners can identify with that. You know, I just knew I was hurting and I was heartbroken. But to find out there was an actual name, betrayal trauma, really started to open up a world for me that made sense with what I was experiencing. And I remember very early on in my group saying, why don't we have a day for this? Like, we honor veterans, we honor breast cancer, we honor survivors of all sorts of atrocities and traumas. And I was like, why don't we have an awareness day for this? But I thought, like, I had to go get some national proclamation and all, you know, I was thinking too big. And so it went on the back burner. But in my coaching, there's something that is true across sex, age, gender, race, religion, socioeconomic status, and that is that betrayal is isolating. It really does send the betrayed partner into a place of secrecy and shame and isolation unfairly, unjustly. And as I kept hearing these stories, then someone approached me about the day again. And I was like, let's do it, because I can't stop people from betraying. Like, I don't have that power. I wish I did, but I don't. But what I can do is bring awareness to this to help people have a greater understanding of what it looks like when someone's betrayed, how to come alongside people and support them. And really restoring some agency back to the betrayed partner, that something happened to you. And there is no shame in something happening to you, and really helping betrayed partners feel that sense of agency, that if they want to, they can share their stories, and that there's healing in doing that when they're ready to.
So you said that this idea of betrayal and betrayal trauma can be very isolating for those who've experienced it. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that sort of pushes those who've experienced that sort of into the shadows?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of misunderstanding around betrayal. You know, I grew up with the belief that it's your job to keep your man happy. And if you don't keep your man happy, somebody else will. So there's this sense of, like, it's my fault, right? That I did something to cause my partner to betray me, which is not true. There's also a lot of jokes and judgment that comes when people find out, oh, what was happening? What was going on? You must not have been doing this, or you must not have been doing that. So the blame is placed on the betrayed partner, which is misplaced blame. And then there's this sense of, and I had this, right, where I was leading a ministry. We were very well known in our church. People kind of looked at us as like a couple that could be looked up to. And now there's this reality that, well, I was being deceived, but I also looked deceitful. I looked like I was deceiving people when in reality, I didn't know what was going on. So all of those layers make it difficult to come to someone. And a lot of betrayed partners will tell you this, that they try to talk to people and they experience more trauma, more harm, because one, our society doesn't know how to deal with grief in general, but it certainly doesn't know how to deal with the grief of betrayal.
Yeah. And I think in your case in particular, when you talk about the fact that together you guys were doing ministry, there could be the whispers of like, how could she not have known? Like, I mean, there's this subtle doubt that you really were in the dark, right? And so then there's that additional shame that's put on you of like, no, really, she's got to be colluding in this and somehow part of it, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, still, as I go around promoting this, always in the comments, I just got a private message the other day. What were the red flags that you missed? It's like, you know, it's called deceit for a reason. It's called covert for a reason. It's secret. It's hidden from you. So I didn't miss them. They were hidden.
Yeah. Well, let's try to define some terms, because you call this intimate partner betrayal awareness. Mm-hmm. So how would you define intimate partner betrayal?
Yeah, I'm glad that you asked that. And I use that language specifically because we know that there are multiple types of betrayal, and you can experience betrayal trauma across a multitude of relationships. But intimate partner betrayal is about betrayal in intimate relationships. And so the short definition is that it's a breach of trust in a committed relationship that violates the safety of that relationship. And I'm making it that expansive because it's not just, oh, I had a sexual affair. We're including pornography, financial betrayal, social betrayal, emotional deception, spiritual manipulation, and these breaches of trust that go against the agreements, the mutual agreements that people have in their relationship. And really, the big part is letting people know that this is a form of relational abuse because it violates the trust and safety of the betrayed partner and causes great harm.
Yeah. And why is it important to actually distinguish betrayal trauma from maybe other types of relational conflict or relational discord?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when we look at trauma and what trauma does, it's not just an emotion, right? It is a whole body experience, neurobiologically, physiologically, emotionally, psychologically. You've got all these systems that are at work in your body that are impacted by trauma. And the difference with intimate partner betrayal is if a friend betrays you, you can choose not to talk to them anymore. If a coworker betrays you, you can go find a new job. When your partner betrays you, many times you're rolling over in bed and looking at them. And so you don't get away from the person who caused you that pain. And with betrayal trauma, it's not something that you can take a pill for or sleep off, right? We're talking about something that is systematically and systemically happening to a person inside their body.
Yeah. And wouldn't you also say that betrayal is different from just conflict, right? Like if I have a disagreement with my wife, that doesn't mean betrayal. We just have different ideas. But if I am deceiving my wife and trying to tell her that something has happened when in fact something else is happening,
right?
That betrayal carries a different kind of weight to it, right?
Absolutely. And for a number of reasons. One is because you're manipulating someone's reality, right? They think they're living in one world, but you've got, in the words of Dr. Manuala, the secret sexual basement happening. You are also taking away a person's ability to give consent, right? If you came to your partner and said, hey, I'm going to cheat on you, lie to you, you know, go talk to other people. Is that okay with you? You'd say, absolutely not. So you're taking away a person's ability to give consent, but it's also a violation because one of the things that makes a marriage relationship so beautiful and that separates it from all your other relationships is that intimacy, that physical intimacy, the sexual intimacy. And so you're violating a person's safety in that regard, especially if you're having affairs because you are potentially bringing back STDs or other things, you know, after you've gone out and slept with someone else.
Yeah, and that kind of leads into my next question, a little bit of like, can you describe some of the emotional and even the psychological impacts that people experience after betrayal? You said that this was like a whole body experience, but can you give us some examples of what some of that emotional and psychological impact would look like?
Sure. Well, first, if we think about gaslighting, which we, you know, hear as a buzzword, but it wasn't, you know, 10 years ago. And so gaslighting is this idea that this person is taking your reality and manipulating it and then making you feel crazy. So it'd be like if you put your keys on the counter and then you came back and you said, "Have you seen my keys?" And I said, "No, I don't know what you're talking about." And then you are like, "No, I know I put them here." "No, you know, you're forgetful. You know, you leave things and then you think you did it. You know, maybe you should go to sleep or get yourself checked out." So psychologically, you're making a person think that they are crazy, that they're losing their mind. And then I always say betrayal is understood in hindsight. So you're replaying your entire history saying, "Wait, so when we were doing this, where were you and what else was happening?" And so you're having to go back and relive your past, but with this new painful information. And then you're trying to make sense of, it's like a traumatic brain injury, because, you know, our brain registers physical and emotional pain in the same part of the brain. And so it'd be equivalent to if I hit you in the head, but except if you hit me in my head, I know you did that. Right. Yet I'm experiencing the pain as if you hit me in the head and I can't make sense of it. So there's fog, there's hypervigilance, there's anxiety, there's fear. And yet you still have to get up and live your daily life and you can't talk about it. You know, biologically, so many partners develop autoimmune issues. They have developed cancer, ulcers, GI issues, trouble sleeping, trouble remembering, an ability to connect with others, panic attacks. It's just, like I said, an entire body experience, heart attacks, you know, all sorts of issues. And it's really sad because I think in Barbara Steffen's research, 69, almost 70% of the partners she surveyed met the clinical criteria for PTSD, same PTSD that people who go to war experience. And so when you think about that, it's like the ability even to get up and function in day-to-day life is a struggle. But then people make light of it. "Oh, it's just cheating." Or like you said, they want to put it all in. Well, you just, you know, pray about it and you guys talk about it and you can work through it. It's like, "No, I don't even know this person." Suddenly they're like a stranger to me. So the impact of it is a lot like people who are sexually assaulted, who are raped, who are physically beaten, or who have been to war, because it is impacting your body in the same way.
Yeah, and I can see why that then can become so confusing and isolating, because like you said, if somebody hits you in the head with a pipe, there's like, you've seen a real external behavioral action that taken against your body, which then you go, "Well, absolutely makes sense that you've got a trauma response in your brain." Mm-hmm. But when there's not any of that going on physically, externally, it's very hard then to say, "Wait a second, why is this person's brain firing off in exactly the same way as if that physical trauma happened?" And this is why I think what you and so many others in this space, like in our wives care ministry and everything, why I think it's so important that you're bringing awareness to this, so that those who have felt very isolated, very sort of, you know, cast off to the side, can actually say, "No, I can stand up and get help." There's no shame in saying, "I need help. I need physical, spiritual, emotional help for this trauma." Can you talk a little bit about what are some of the biggest misconceptions about betrayal in intimate relationships?
Ooh, there's a lot of them. So one is the biggest one. If you have more sex, then your partner won't betray you. And we know that that's not true. That if you keep your partner happy, they won't betray you. And that's not true. That if you pray together and pray more and trust God, that, you know, you can get over it. Or if you just forgive your partner, you guys can heal and move on. That it was a mistake and we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And therefore, you know, just like God forgives us, you need to forgive your partner. And when you hear that, you're like, well, yeah, the scripture does say that, right? But when you misapply it to a situation, that you're what we call sin leveling, like taking it and making it all the same. And it's like, no, I mean, just like with cancer, right? You got stage one, stage two, stage three, stage four, and they're not going to treat stage four cancer in the same way they treat stage one cancer. And so when you look at regular conflict, which I can go to an urgent care and get treatment for that, right, versus betrayal and experiencing betrayal trauma, I need to be in a specialty hospital. I need a certain kind of care to heal. I can't just go to regular marriage counseling or to my pastor, and unless my pastor's a betrayal trauma counselor, right? But in general, it's like I need specialized care. And that's the part I think that a lot of people miss. I missed it when I was in my group. The ladies told me, like, hey, don't go to just a regular counselor. And I was like, I just need help. I just need somebody. And we need marriage counseling. And I very quickly learned, like, okay, they were right. I need somebody who can help me understand what I'm experiencing and validate this for me, give me language. I mean, when I first heard the term gaslighting, I bawled because I was like, there's this thing happening to me and I don't know what it is. And it makes it sound like I'm being nitpicky or I'm being too hard on my spouse, but like this thing is really hurting me. And then once I got the name for it, I felt so validated and so empowered. And so that's what we need to do for betrayed partners, like you said, is to say, you do need help for this. And it doesn't mean that you're weak. In fact, the fact that you're still here is an indication of your strength, because unfortunately, there are people who die from a broken heart. Mm.
Yeah. So I think some people will hear this idea of intimate partner betrayal or betrayal trauma. And some might just have this foregone conclusion that, listen, if this happens in your relationship, there's only one solution, and that is you have to get out of the relationship. Mm-hmm. But I like the fact that you put this kind of in stages, right? Like even you mm-hmm. talk about stages of cancer. So how can someone maybe tell the difference between a relationship that may have the potential to heal versus one that just remains unsafe and it would be unhealthy to continue?
Yeah, and this is, I think, a struggle that so many have that I had. And what I always tell my clients is that acting out in whatever way is a symptom of a problem. It is not the problem. So you need to get underneath what the problem is. Are there undiagnosed mental health issues? Is there personality disorder? Is there trauma in this person's childhood? You know, is there a distorted belief system? Are there deficits in their emotional development? And once you can kind of piece out, like, you know, people struggle with the term abuse, but just because somebody is being abusive doesn't make them an abuser. Right. And for a lot of people, once they get in good recovery, those abusive behaviors stop because they start to learn, like, oh, this is harmful. And they, oh, I didn't realize that. Right. That wasn't my intention. It's the only tool they had to protect themselves. And then as they start to learn and grow, those abusive behaviors stop. But some people are abusers. And once you take away the drug of acting out, they become even more abusive because now you took away the thing that was soothing my pain. And those are the things to look at when you're considering, can this relationship survive? Is that, one, is this person taking accountability and responsibility for the harm they've caused? And that's a journey, right? You gotta get there progressively. But also, like, do they hold space for their partner? Are they practicing empathy? And one thing I say, because I work with betraying partners as well, I tell them, I can give you the tools, I can give you the support, I can give you the encouragement. The one thing I can't give you is willingness. And so when you have a partner, a betraying partner who is unwilling, meaning the betrayed partner is having to drag them to counseling, they're having to beg them to go to recovery, they have to keep reminding them of what they did because the person wants them to just get over it. Those are the times to stop and say, okay, wait a minute. What am I doing here? Because you cannot change someone against their will. Even God doesn't do that. And so looking at what is this person willing to do? Where are they willing to meet me? What's happening to me? Am I becoming better as a result of healing in this relationship? Or am I progressively getting worse? And that's what was happening to me. Like, people were saying to me, the light in your eyes is gone. You just don't look the same. I would look in the mirror and not recognize myself. I realized there was this version of me staring back in the mirror that I didn't recognize. And so when the relationship is diminishing the quality of your life, you know, like Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? It's like, what does it profit you to be in your relationship but lose your whole self? And so when the relationship is costing you your sense of self, that is usually an indication that it might be time to take a break.
Yeah. So then for those who are currently experiencing betrayal, like, what are some of the first steps toward healing and actually getting support that they need? We talked about the relationship, but then mm-hmm. let's talk about just them. What are some of the steps that they need to take to get the healing and support for the betrayal trauma?
Yeah, first is just acknowledging that this is a real thing. You're not exaggerating. You're not overreacting. You're not being unforgiving, that something terrible has happened to you and you deserve to get the support that you need to heal. They can reach out to Be Broken or me or ABSATS, you know, these organizations that are targeting this population who have the training, who have the understanding, who can help come alongside you and guide you. I think every betrayed partner should be a part of a group. You know, I was doing both my individual counseling and my group, and the group was the everyday fill-in in between my counseling sessions. And so being a part of a group, having community, safe places where you can share, because nobody heals in isolation. Nobody heals in isolation. We need others to come alongside of us. And then I would also say, just understanding that educating yourself is good and you need that. You can read the books and attend the workshops, but it is actually applying that knowledge that is actually what is going to lead to healing. If you just read and then you don't do anything with it, then it's not going to actually produce healing.
Yeah. It's kind of like that willingness piece happens on both sides, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say this, the caveat that I would put to that is that because of what trauma does to the body, does to the brain, sometimes even that willingness meter can be very wildly off at times. And it is absolutely okay if you have a day where it's like, it's all fog today. It
yes.
is all just, and that's why I think your comment on needing community, needing a group mm-hmm. is so important, because there's going to be days where it's just, again, like I said, it's just fog. And you need those other people around you that can just say, hey, it's okay. I'm going to make sure you brush your teeth today, right? Or something.
Absolutely.
Where it's like, just do a self-care thing that makes sure you remind yourself you're worth getting whatever help you need in that. And that's what
Absolutely.
I want to say too is how can actually friends, family, communities better support someone who's going through this kind of trauma? You talk about how it's such an isolating, it's such a kind of marginalizing thing. So how can we get better as friends, families, and communities?
Yeah, I love that question. And thank you for adding that caveat, because I do tell people, if you breathe today, that is miraculous, because there were days where I couldn't catch my breath, literally felt like I had an elephant sitting on my chest. So when I say healing, I don't mean going out and saving the world. I mean, just getting up and remembering that life has purpose, that it's one day at a time, that you will get through this, and that it is a journey. It is definitely a marathon and not a sprint. And I think that's what family and friends need to understand, that when this person is saying the same thing 5-10 times, it's not because they're stuck. It's not because they are being bitter. It's because they're trying to make sense of their reality. It's like waking up and realizing you're adopted, and everything you thought you knew about your life and who you were and who the people in your life were, you're making sense. So imagine when you've been married 30, 40, 50 years, you've got 50 years of history to sort through. And nobody can do that overnight. So friends, family, supporters definitely need patience. They need to listen more than they talk and just validate, encourage. And if this is a form of grief, I always tell people, think about what you would do if someone died. You would bring a meal, you would send a card, you would send flowers, you would help with day-to-day tasks. You'd just be there. You might take them out to get their nails done or a massage, but also understanding that some of that may be triggering. If your partner was acting out at massage parlors, now you don't want the things you used to find joy in, or going to the beach. Like for me, that was my happy place. And it was like, oh, you know, it took me years to feel comfortable to go back to the beach, because now it was a part of a painful past. And so just patience, understanding, listening, encouraging, and supporting. Those are really powerful.
That's good. Well, so this has been a great conversation. I do want to have you let our listeners and viewers know two things. One, where can they go to learn a little bit more about you and some of the resources that you particularly offer? But then also tell us about the Intimate Partner Betrayal Awareness Day and kind of what people can expect on that day.
Yeah. So let me start with the day. Intimate Partner Betrayal Awareness Day is August 4th. This is the second year that we are observing it, and we hope that every year it continues to grow. This year, we're going to be doing a lot of live interviews, discussions, conversations, giveaways. I'm partnering with Tiff's Treats, and they've given us a code that will allow you to send cookies, because August 4th is also National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. And so a portion of those funds will go to help to bring awareness to betrayal trauma, which is huge. We're partnering with a candle company and just other things to really highlight this issue of betrayal and help people know you're not alone. You can come out of the shadows. People are planning local gatherings. There are just a lot of ways to honor the day. The colors are blue, orange, and gold, so you can wear one of those colors. But joining the live broadcast, going out with friends, telling your story, remembering how far you've come, joining with group members. Somebody sent, last year we had a lot of betraying partners send flowers, take their spouse to dinner, reaffirm their commitment. So there's a lot of ways to let a betrayed partner know that you see them, you hear them, and you believe them. And they can go to The website is IPB, so that's for Intimate Partner Betrayal. It's ipbawareness.org, and that is where the schedule will be. There's a survey there that people can take a part in. There's a one-page flyer you can download and hand out to people. So there's a lot of ways to get involved with minimal effort. And then if people want to find me, they can find me at fullyalivecoachingllc.com. That's my website. And I did want to say that one of the things that I did was I wrote a book, and it's called An Ember of Light. And the reason it's called An Ember of Light is because that's how I see betrayed partners as embers. They're what's left after things have burned down, but embers have life and they can stay buried for years, and you fan them and they become a flame. And so I see betrayed partners as those embers. So I wrote this book with us in mind.
That is so good. So I want to ask you, this is my last question for you. Like, kind of looking ahead, what impact do you hope that this Awareness Day could have, like, in the next 5 to 10 years?
I would love to see on a national and international level some proclamations. I'm working on some government interest in this and bringing awareness to it. I would like to see it on the same scale as autism awareness, MS awareness, cancer awareness, that this is no longer something that's whispered about, but that people feel comfortable talking about and saying, this thing happened to me, and that we can provide support and compassion for betrayed partners, that no one has to go through the worst thing they've ever experienced alone.
That's so good. And I love your ember thought, the fact that there's still life in an ember. And that is,
absolutely.
I just want to say this. I'm so thankful, Andrea, that you have a hopeful foundation for this. You know, it'd be very easy to just have a bitterness around this. And I love the fact that the kind of awareness you're wanting to bring is actually hopeful and hope-filled. And so I hope that's what comes across in this conversation and just in the work you do. But thank you for being with us here today.
Yeah, and thank you for having me. And just to reiterate what you said, people ask, why would you create an awareness day for the worst day of my life? And it's like, it's not a celebration of what's happened to you, but it is an honoring of your resilience, of the fact that you are still here, that there is hope, and that there is life on the other side of betrayal.
Yeah, because think of it this way. When you have a... So take many of these other awareness days that are very tragic or terrible situations. Mm-hmm. The awareness is not saying, hey, we're so glad that we have cancer, right?
Right.
No, but it's saying, no, we're wanting to make aware that there's a community that needs support because they have experienced cancer, right?
Right.
And what you're saying is there's a whole community of people that have experienced deep betrayal trauma, and they need a place and they need a voice. They need to be able to have hope that they don't have to be permanently crippled by this experience in their life. And I love that. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, listeners and viewers, we are going to put a lot of info in the show notes. So be sure to check that out and reach out to us, because we want to help you take your next best step to wholeness in Christ. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Hi, I'm Brian.
And I'm Sharon.
I had a 40-year porn addiction.
Porn was an unwelcome guest for 32 years of our marriage.
I found hope and freedom when I attended a Gateway to Freedom weekend.
And I found hope and the courage to begin my healing journey while attending Wives Care.
Don't be like us and allow porn to wreak havoc in your lives.
Reach out to Be Broken today.
To learn more about Gateway to Freedom, 3-day intensive for men, and Wives Care online groups, visit BeBroken.org. or call 210-822-8201. That's BeBroken.org or 210-822-8201.